episode of Fantasy Baseball Elite, courtesy of FantasyGuru.com, where we're talking fantasy baseball 365 days a year, 24/7. Drink, by the way. I am Jeff Mance. You can follow me at Jeff_Mance on Twitter. Find my daily fantasy baseball and other content at EliteFantasy.com. Football content right here at FantasyGuru.com and EliteSportsBetting.com with me as always. Well, 9 times out of 10. Although probably 6 out of 10 that I'm with him. It's Ray Flowers, everybody. How are you, Ray?
Yeah, that's about right. Those are some decent odds there, Jeff. That sounds pretty right. Yeah, pretty right.
Yeah, you do some of the solo podcasts.
You're a busy guy, though, you know?
So. Yeah, I'm stupid busy. Like, this was a stupid thing. My life sucks.
It really does.
I guess the life doesn't suck. It's the things that occupy my time sometimes is just embarrassingly bad and dumb. It drives me crazy. That's why I love to dive and talk fantasy baseball with you and daily fantasy baseball and everything else. So, Ray, we have a lot to talk about since last we left off. There was no podcast last week. What happened to us last week? What did we do?
We had things going. What did we do? We had something going on. I was doing something extra. Oh, yeah. The rankings.
Oh, yeah. You had
ranked. No. What was it?
No. Well, you had the your SiriusXM
training. Oh, that's right. Yeah. For those people out there that think I don't know what I'm doing when I talk, Sirius might agree because they asked me to go to a special show. yeah, that's right. I had to go spend 5 hours over there in Oakland doing that. You're right, Jeff.
That's right. That was last week when we record. But so it's funny that we've left you guys off for, well, this is, you know, second week, and now we're back because a lot has happened in those 2 weeks and a lot with fantasy baseball, but specifically around one Ray Flowers. Ray Flowers, you little minxing troublemaker. You got yourself into some hot water. I don't know how much hot water. We love it at Fantasy Guru, so I don't know. There's no hot water there. But you wrote an article. And you posted it for free, so everybody can go and check it out. It's at FantasyGuru.com. Whether you have the seasonal fantasy baseball package or not, doesn't matter. It's an appropriately named title, What is Wrong with Fantasy Baseball by Ray Flowers. And Ray, holy Lord, you set off a crap storm with that one. Tell us a little bit about it. Tell us about what led you to write the article and then sort of the afterglow and the response that you've gotten since then.
It's not the kind of afterglow I was hoping for, Jeff. I'll tell you that.
Yes, not the afterglow.
Yeah. Basically, it's this. You and I have had a lot of discussions on podcasts, on SiriusXM, just privately. And, you know, it's kind of gotten to the point where I think both of us feel like you just got to be honest with the people about everything. Like, we're honest. If anyone asks a question, we answer, blah, blah, blah. But it's time just to open the floodgates and let it rip. And the truth of the matter is our industry as a whole has a problem. And based upon the response that I got to that article, it seems like everyone wants to be an ostrich and just put their head in the sand. It seems like a lot of people don't think there's a problem. They don't think there's an issue. They think we're trying to get clickbait or something. No. The issue is this. As I wrote in the article, What is Wrong with Fantasy Baseball? Season-long fantasy baseball is dying. Period. End of story. Ray, NFBC is up. Yeah, the NFBC is up. It's a great product. Tom and Greg run a great, you know, they have a great product there. We're partners with them at Fantasy Guru. Fantastic. That segment is stronger than ever it's ever been. Mm-hmm. That's a segment. That's a group of people that play in that. That's not the industry of fantasy baseball. It's totally different. And the industry of fantasy baseball is dying. Kids aren't playing baseball anymore. There's an immediacy about the world. You've got your cell phones and computers and all tablets and all that. And people don't have the patience to play baseball. They certainly don't have the patience to follow baseball for 6-7 months. The game is dying. And unless we do something to address that, Jeff, unless we make some changes inside the game itself, it's going to go the way of the dodo bird and disappear. And it's been shocking to me how many people have come at you, me, us, and said there's no problems at all. I don't get that.
I get it. But I don't – like I'm ashamed of it, or I don't like it. It's one of those situations where I know people are stuck in a different time. I get the idea that you want the game to be as it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. I understand that those emotions and those feelings. But like you said, So here's a little let's just go at it. With the industry talking about Ray, specifically Ray, I've been accused of this before, back to the Matt Forte and the cover of our magazine. Mm-hmm. Like, you do things for clickbait. That's what you mentioned.
Yeah.
You're just trying to create something in a buzz. No. No. Maybe a little bit. We're trying to push people. That's for sure. I am trying. I've been trying for a long time. Ray's trying to push people into making decisions and improving the game to get better. We all have to do it, including ourselves. Why would we publish an article? We're trying to sell fantasy baseball subscriptions. That's how we make our money, and that's how we do that. Why would we say something, and by the way, post it for free? So it's like, hey, but why would we do that? It's not – we're pushing ourselves. We're about transparency first always at Elite Sports and the Elite Sports Network, which encompasses Elite Sports Betting, Elite Fantasy, and Fantasy Guru as well. So – we need to push each other to be better and become better and make the changes and listen to our audience, listen to those of you who listen to this podcast and read our stuff on the sites and all that good stuff. So we have to push each other and we have to push the industry sometimes. We have a lot of customers. We are a very successful enterprise, have been for a long time. So we feel like it's our obligation to do so. We can't sit around and say, all right, well, we're going to make money either way. Right. And
which we could do if we could just in the corner, never say a word. It wouldn't change anything.
We're going to
get the top of the list in terms of earnings and all. It wouldn't change anything, Jeff.
Absolutely. Our paychecks don't rise or fall with that necessarily. You know what I mean? It just doesn't. I mean, yes, if everyone stopped playing fantasy baseball, they would drop a little bit. Fine. Yeah, absolutely. But it's not going to, we know it's not going to affect it that much. We need to get better. We have an obligation. This game's been very good to us. This industry has been very good to us, allowed Ray and I to compete, to win, to, you know, pushed us, our thought process, and get better all the time. And now it's that time where we need to push it. And standing around, I mean, looking around and saying that the game is fine, no problems here, when all it is, attendance is down in Major League stadiums, viewership's down at Major League broadcasts. Not anything big, not a big deal. Attendance is pretty big, but the viewership is very, very little down, and I anticipate that will go up. Last year's numbers for the playoffs freak a lot of people out. I'm not that worried about the interest in baseball. I'm not that interested in that. I am interested in they're going to do other things. My kids, 17, 14, and 8, they are going to find other ways to be involved with baseball at whatever level. They go to a game. My two oldest girls, all they want to do is be on their phone. They're not even watching the stadium. So, and I thought to myself, I went to Diamondbacks game like 2 weeks ago, Ray, and same day you were at the Giants game, as a matter of fact. And I'm like, why isn't there something interactive here for these people to do? This is what's happening in our society. It's, and so, you know what I mean? That's just going to games and just general. Then we talk about the fantasy element, and I see other people in our industry saying, oh, it's just your kids are the problem, and the next generation's the problem, and I need to address that. No, it's not. The next generation's not the problem. Why? How do I know this for sure? A, I have children, three of them. B, I was that next generation. You were that next generation, right? You were lazy, weak, bad. You were going to corrupt the world. We were going to be bad. Every generation says the next one's going to ruin the world, and it never happens. We get innovation, right? The generation that couldn't even figure out the internet is going to tell us that fantasy baseball is fine? The thought dial-up modems were okay? That didn't want, you know, really? Pulse phones? Like, this is the generation we think was going to, you know, they were right, and we were all wrong, the 40-somethings and 30-somethings of the world. And now the 30s and 40-somethings want to say that the teenagers and early 20s millennials are wrong. No, they're not wrong. The immediacy is not wrong. It's the world. It's the way it is. And why not? When you really open your mind, is it what I like? No, the longer I have to take to make a decision, the better. That's, I've always been slow like that. Like, I want to think things through and think at all levels and all that. Ray, you've worked with me a long time. You know that's my personality. Yep. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, if I was 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, if I have an opportunity to get information like this, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't you want, if you've grown up with everything in front of you like this, Why wouldn't you continue and expect that out of everything? Out of your car, out of your home, out of your television, out of your internet, out of whatever it is that you're out of your clothing, out of your medical care, everything. Why wouldn't you expect that out of everything? The problem isn't the next generation. The problem with us, that's holding back development. That's my opinion, Ray. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you can make the argument from any angle here. There's multiple directions you can attack this sucker out. Let's take this tact. I will take this tact. That whether it's right or wrong, it's the way it is. Like you said, that I agree with. Now, I don't agree with everything, and I view things different, but, okay, but doesn't matter. Okay, the way of the world today is different than 10, 20, 30. It's just different. And the immediacy and the fact that kids don't leave the house anymore. How many times have you told me stories, Jeff, that the kids won't leave the house. They sit on their damn phone, their damn tablet. That's just what the kids do. They don't play games anymore. They don't play sports. Baseball itself is in a situation where you've got the DFS game, which is strong, and people, I think, have pivoted to that from the season long. You've got the growing influence of the gambling, which, you know, a lot of people play fantasy because it was a form of sports gambling for them. Now, if they can do the gambling straight, maybe they just leave playing the fantasy game, because you can do that every day too, instead of, you know, playing it once a year. We've got the fact that we've got more injuries than ever before. There's more rookie call-ups than ever before. You have to know more of the player pool than ever before. It's a lot more work. You've got the fact that playing a game of baseball, if you're just a kid or anyone, you need, how many people do you need to play a game of baseball? Eight? To fake it?
At least.
To fake it?
I'd say 10 to fake it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you need a big
outfielders and a pitcher.
Yeah, right? You need a big-ass field with the room and all that. Basketball, you need a hoop and a ball.
Right. Play basketball, a laundry basket.
Yeah. So it's just the game itself, it's becoming more difficult for kids to play it. With the attitudes of the world, it's more difficult to fit in, and all these things. And I wrote an article just the other day as well, talking about it, is, you know, about the expense of baseball. Is baseball too expensive? You know, if you got to go and drop $200-$300 to go to a baseball game, like you were saying earlier at the top, there's different ways to view sports now. You can pay $200 to DirecTV and watch 5,000 games from your house. Do you even need to go to the game anymore?
Yeah.
So baseball itself has got to deal with
TV, online, on your tablet, the at-bat app.
Absolutely.
I mean, all of those areas, yeah.
Yeah, so there's other ways to consume the product and all that. But the fact is, you have to adapt, and that goes back to your main point. You have to adapt. And whether I think the youth of today are going to ruin the world or not, I kind of think they are. But whether or not they are, the world has got – we've got to keep up with that pace. If we keep trying to do things in the 1980 model in 2019, we're going to fail. And I feel that's what we're doing in fantasy baseball. I am Mr. Traditional. I want to play season long. I want to do roto. All that. Yeah, but I've woken up to the fact that I can want to do that, and that can be the way I play my league.
Sure.
But if you or you or you or you want to do it different, then by all means do it different. You've got to do whatever it is that speaks to you. I want people to keep playing this game and enjoying baseball, and unless we change how we provide the fantasy game, we're going to cease to exist, Jeff.
Imagine for a minute – all you people, that, including Ray Flowers, who complain about the future of the world and how miserable it's going to be, imagine for a minute a world in which all the kids today did everything the same as we did them. Think about how awful things would be. If the youth didn't challenge all the older people, if they didn't innovate, if they didn't look at things differently, where would we be? I mean, seriously, would we have gotten out of the 1860s? 1960s, the 1930s, the 40s. I mean, where would we stop if it's just like, well, we got to look at things the same way our grandfathers did and our fathers did, and we do. No. I am a strong no on that. It would be catastrophic if they did that. So that's where I stand. And I'll also say, like, the thing about going outside, I love my with the kids and stuff. As three, a father of three, listen. What's so good about outside? Like, seriously, does anybody realize all the dangers outside? Doesn't sunlight give you skin cancer? Isn't skin cancer, melanoma at an all-time high? Abductions, pedophilia? You know, I mean, is it the world a lot different where they could track you and know wherever? Is it really that great just to be roaming around free outside? My parents never knew where I was at. Is that good?
Good. It's awful. Because you were doing illegal things, Jeff, man.
When I got older, I absolutely was. But, man, this is – it's not good to be outside and run around. Like, those days I get, and it was fun and excited for us. But as parents and somebody that worries about this, there are kids in my Janine Nicarico. Go Google Nicarico from Chicago. A little girl in my area where I grew up, Southside, abducted, just gone. Just gone. I mean, and there was no way to find nothing. And you know, that's what happens. I mean, John Wayne Gacy. I mean, all these things. So, yeah, be careful what you wish for, people, because if the youth doesn't innovate and look at things differently, we're all in trouble. The future is more in trouble than ever. So
I want to say one thing, Jeff, before we move on. I know, sorry to interrupt you there. I would like people, the intent of the article was not to piss people off. Okay. The intent of the article was not to put down our industry. The intent of the article was to find ways, find answers, find solutions to the problem. And I would say 1 out of 20 people that responded offered anything.
Right.
Like saying it sucks doesn't help. Saying it's fine the way it is doesn't help. We need innovation. We need changes, whether that's the format we use, the style we use, a new direction. We need innovation. So please, if you're going to comment, you know, and again, Jeff and I have taken our share of arrows in the world, and it's going to be that way forever. That's fine. But really, the intent of this whole thing was to develop game plan, strategize a new and better way to do this. That was the point, not just to bitch and moan about stuff.
If you love the way it is and all the current setup, why? I mean, listen, I love things the way they are too. I get it. Well, why wouldn't you want more innovation to that end? Why, if you like the amount of time and all that, that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with it. Why don't we start factoring in some other details? Why isn't fielding recognized? Why aren't team bullpens realized? Why aren't we doing more with all that? I don't understand. And if you want more immediacy and all that, well, there's no reason we can't create games that allow you to touch your team every day. So let's get into this a little bit. We're going to get into this show, everybody. We're going to get into a lot of the call-ups. We're fresh off one of the hottest free agent acquisition weeks of the season. And it's funny because the last podcast we did, Ray, 2 weeks ago, I said we're just beginning the dog days. And as soon as we do, in all the fab budget and bids that were way down that week, mm-hmm. we get a boon like we had last week. Guys like Brendan Rodgers, Nicky Lopez, Keyston Hiera, Willie Calhoun, all these guys getting called up. Ray and I are going to go through all of them, believe you me, this show. So hang in there with us. But I want to talk about some solutions because, like you said, the intent of your article isn't to piss people off. It's about getting a discussion going, getting a dialogue going. And again, if you guys want to hate me for it, don't hate Ray. Hate me. I could take all the hate. I have no problem with people getting so mad at me as long as it gets them. Sometimes people refuse. I've had customers walk away from us, Ray, and cite, you know, I said something and I was mean to them in our chat. And I say, yeah, well, I'm. Guess what? And then, you know, a lot of times, including just recently, it was about a week, 2 weeks ago, a guy came back and said, you know what, man? I hated you. I used to love you. I hated you. I thought you were arrogant, blah, blah. And he goes, you know what? You're right. And, you know, I get it. And now I understand what you're doing. I said, no harm, no foul to me. As long as we get you where you're going, you could be a profitable player, a winning player. That's all I want. Whether we get credit or not, it's all we want. So let's offer some changes. Let's start with what I think is a major problem of the current setup of fantasy baseball. And that is the – let's start it this way, the length of the season. Okay? Mm-hmm. It is a long, grinding season. Goes for, I mean, again, you and I draft teams in January. And we don't – the payoff isn't until October. That's a full-term pregnancy. It's 9 months. Serious. It's 40 weeks. That's a – that's a long time. Time, Ray Flowers. That's a long time to hold a team and to nourish it and everything else. So it's a long way. My question is this. And the month of September to me has gotten so out of control in Major League Baseball. Is it fun? Absolutely. Definitely make that. I understand why it would be fun. But I have fun with week 17 in fantasy football. I love week 17. Love it. People hate it. Oh, you don't know what's going on with it. Why do we widely acknowledge week 17 as fantasy football to be? We're not going to make this a football baseball debate because I don't want to yell at you anymore. Yeah. I don't want to get into that. But why would we not play week 17 in football but play the month of September in baseball? Explain to me that.
Yeah, you could The answer to your question is it's different, and that's not a good answer because you're right. I mean, in general, the argument is you can't play week 17 because you don't know what's going to happen. For people that are new to baseball or that have been paying attention, or maybe their teams didn't do well last year, so they stopped paying. It's open season because you get all these guys called up that haven't had any impact all season long, haven't been on a big league roster all season long, and now some guy no one's ever heard of hits 390 in the month of September only because he was called up because the roster's expanded. Not because he necessarily deserved it, not because there was an opportunity, but because what the hell, we can call guys up. And that is a problem. And, you know, you end up with a lot of guys late in the season that rest because their team is going to the playoffs and they're looking to get them healthy, or their team isn't going anywhere, so they rest them. So, yeah, you know, you can totally make the argument that if we don't do it there, we shouldn't do it here. I think it's a little different in baseball because if you're playing roto, it doesn't have as big an impact. If you're playing head-to-head, it can have a massive impact, just like it does in football. But, yeah, it's a very fair point to bring up, Jeff.
The other aspect, I mean, we have to be symmetrical with what the leagues are doing too for any sport. And in baseball, what I've noticed in baseball, and again, to be symmetrical would mean a couple subtle changes that I think would impact and open up the market for seasonal fantasy baseball. Tanking, NBA, it's a massive problem. We saw just the recent draft lottery and the Pelicans getting the first pick and the Lakers moving all the way up. And it's like everybody, you know, teams are being rewarded for tanking. And it's not necessarily the worst teams anymore. It's the teams that just get the, you know, everybody tanks. And even if they're a playoff team, like the Pelicans obviously were, but they decided to sit out their star player. And Major League Baseball is all of a sudden not as much, but – and it's not, and it started out the last couple of Septembers. I've noticed, I'm like, God, the teams aren't even trying. And now you look at the American League Grave Robbers and you're like, wow, teams are tanking in season. Like the Orioles don't have any chance in the world. Like there's no competition there. The Tigers, the Royals, so teams are that are just not competing. The Marlins and the NL. You know what I mean? So like the tanking starts in April for some of these teams, and it's just going to get worse by September. And then we go into the other part of it. It's like the bullpen stuff that you and I do, the Burr Report, bullpen coach, Elite Fantasy. Like, we talk about bullpens all the time, and here we are in seasonal fantasy baseball still playing with saves? Mm-hmm. Saves? Come on, man. What the hell? I'm sorry. 2019 saves? This is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Wins and saves. It's a podcast. I'm rolling over my chair. This ridiculous. This is not how the game goes. Nobody gives a damn about a win or a save anymore. Nobody's going eight innings to secure the win. Like, they were lucky if they had five out of a starter. So, the you know, again, 42% of innings so far this year has been pitched on the bullpens, up 2% from where it was last year. And it's not going anywhere. And the only credit we get at all for having a good bullpen is if they get the final out in a game. Are you flipping kidding me? And the only quality we get out of a starting pitcher these days is if they can throw five innings and then the bullpen holds on for four. Man, get the flip out of here with that, Ray. I think these are two absolutely archaic stats that are widely accepted in the seasonal community.
Yeah, it's interesting because in general, the baseball community has done a fantastic job. Sabermetrics, advanced baseball, all that stuff has done a great job influencing popular culture. You know, we have guys that win 10 games winning the Cy Young Award. You know, we've done it, right, in that aspect of things. Now, in the world of fantasy, we haven't done anything. So we have all the fantasy people that do all this analysis have helped the real world out but not helped themselves out. And I know this – wins is totally dependent upon a myriad of factors well beyond the control of the pitcher. That's a fact. Same thing with saves, of course. You know that I have pushed as hard as anyone in this industry to get rid of saves for years. I've brought it up in expert leagues. I bring it up in expert leagues every year. I try to argue, let's be the people that push this. Like, we're doing on-base percentage. Why don't we do solds too? Let's do something different. Let's make, because, you know, you guys want to push the envelope, but you don't really want to push the envelope. And I've never understood it. I don't get it. I've written about it. I've podcasted about it. People are probably tired of hearing me talk about it, Jeff, because I've said it every possible way in every possible location I could. I don't understand the reluctance to move beyond that. I'm not talking about hybriding baseball and football due to some one league where, you know, I'm just talking about changing some categories here. And this goes back to the original argument. If we're going to continue to play a game, and I had someone ask me this. Here's a perfect example. Someone asked me, hey, I'm new to fantasy baseball. And this is my second year, and I drafted a really good team. And now I'm looking at my bullpen, and I'm like 11th in saves. And it's like, well, because the guy drafted early, he had Craig Kimbrell, who didn't sign, which, you know, freaked everyone out.
Still hasn't signed.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, still hasn't signed. Yeah, but I mean, when you know, the guy did an early draft, we all assumed, right, that he'd get drafted. And I forget, he had two other guys. One of them was Jose Leclerc, who's been demoted. And then there was a third guy. He was 11th in saves, even though walking away from the draft table, he had four of the top 12 closers. I mean, three of the top 12 closers. So he had three of the top 12.
Okay.
So
I don't know anything about this,
yep.
But when you say three of the top whatever closers, I'm guessing that was according to ADP only, not really.
Well, but again, and I forget the third guy, so I don't want to.
Diaz and Kenley, because I have Kenley and Diaz, and I'm fine everywhere.
Well, but again, if you have Leclerc, Kimbrell, and this third guy, you're Kimbrell's got zero. Leclerc's now starter, and then the other guy got demoted too. I forget who it was offhand. But my point is that, you know, the guy who did the right thing, who said, I'm gonna get some good guy, did a good job drafting, now is completely hosed. Did he do anything wrong at the draft? No. Was it some of it unlucky? Sure. Would it maybe be different next year? Maybe. I don't know. But the point is, you don't want to – what we've done is we've created a system that invalidates the draft. Because all the effort and energy you spend on closers is thrown out the window when the guy blows two games, gets removed in week two, and never gets a chance again. I mean, it completely ruins the entire draft. We've created a system where we reward crap-ass pitchers sometimes because they have good records, right? I mean, you look at the records right now. Frankie Montas is 5-2, and not that he's pitched badly, okay, but he's 5-2. Lance Lynn has the same amount of victories. Is Lance Lynn pitched better than Frankie Montas? By what measure? None. Zero. Yeah, you know, so we have a system set up that rewards categories, specifically, as you noted, wins and saves, that don't really speak to the effectiveness of pitchers, and I don't know why we accept that.
I don't know either. I don't know why we refuse to grow and change. I think these are subtle changes that we can make. I'll say this. Like, the one thing that stood out to me, of course, about your rant there was, like, another aspect of this, another change I think could or should be made is, and I'm speaking from this is me personally, Jeff Manns Incorporated. I, as a 41-year-old man, I'm older. I'm used to, I've lived through weekly baseball, all that good stuff. I got to tell you, Ray Flowers, I need to touch my team every day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to. If I don't do it, I stop caring. It's just an emotional, no matter what, no matter the stakes, no matter what I told myself at the beginning of the season, and I am not alone. And I'm 41, so I'm an older person that does it. I can tell you, there's not a 25-year-old alive that wants to spend all day Sunday doing roster moves, waiver moves, lineup. It's the worst thing in life. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Many, many people are not going to do it. Now, again, maybe it's 50-50. It's probably more 50-50. But why can't we agree? We need daily lineup changes. I think we should have at least a couple times a week roster moves. No reason I can't pick up a guy. No reason I should be stuck because a guy – I mean, Major League Baseball doesn't say, well, you only could put guys on the IL on Sunday or Monday. Like, no, nobody would do that. No real competition ever restricts you in that fashion. And that's where I'm at with seasonal fantasy baseball and some of these leagues, including the expert leagues that you and I frequent. It's like, man, come on, man. If I know that, Eduardo Rodriguez is on the mound or whatever, or Gio Gonzalez, and I can't stack some righties, you know, I can't move a guy in the lineup that plays once or twice, then what good is all the knowledge that I have? Like, I'm wasting great information. I'm wasting a cell phone that I pay 80, 90, 100 bucks a month to use, where I could just hit three buttons, change a guy in and out, be done in 5 minutes, and free my life. The idea that we can sit here on Sunday and reasonably articulate what's going to happen on Wednesday through the following Sunday is ridiculous. I understand people will argue, oh, yeah, I plan for it. No, you don't. You try. Absolutely try. Major league teams aren't telling you. Everybody's getting injured. People are sitting out. There's weather concerns that come up. We're losing tons of production just because we can't touch our teams. Why this reluctance to allow us to change lineups on a daily basis, right?
I have zero issue with being allowed to change a lineup on a daily basis. You and I disagree completely on the roster management part. And, you know, just to say it quickly, Jeff wants to run FAB waivers, whatever, multiple times a week. I don't want to. I still want to run that once a week. But I do. So I completely disagree with you there because I think that's more work and more effort and all that. But I 100% agree with you that being able to manage your roster, however you have it constructed on a daily basis, makes sense. You got Jock Peterson. And, you know, he's not going to play against a lefty, but, you know, he's going to perform like an all-star against righties. Like, the Dodgers have, you know, two lefties coming up that week. You just have to bench Jock Peterson, or you have to start him and just take two zeros? That's stupid. I agree with you totally there. You should be able to take him out and say, you know what? I don't like Kiki Hernandez is a bad example. I don't like, you know, the way that Chris Taylor's swinging the bat, but I'm going to get him in the lineup because he's going to play. Of course you should be able to do that. Just, yeah, if we don't allow our teams to be managed on a day-to-day basis, we're missing out.
And, again, I can concede the once-a-week fab and stuff. Like, I get it. I would prefer it the other way. I would like to, if a guy goes on an injured list, to be able to make that move or whatever. Maybe if we have extra bench spot or two here and there, I think we could alleviate that. There's middle ground there. No problem whatsoever. My big thing with this is with daily lineup moves. Is if you want it, no matter what, I will never accept that it's more work. I will never accept it because it's not true. It's a falsehood. It's not more work. Certain people have different lifestyles. Certain people are used to a certain thing. So they think that, oh, if I have to do it every day, it's going to be more work. It's not. But I'll tell you this. If you have daily lineup moves, Ray Flowers, mm-hmm. Nothing on earth restricts you from changing your lineup only once a week. Nothing. You could change it every Sunday for Monday. I almost swore I can close on this podcast. Ooh. Anytime you want, you can do it. Nothing stops you. But why are the people that have this knowledge and information and ability, why are we stopped? Why am I being constantly stopped from knowing that I have a guy in a bad matchup somehow on a Thursday because, well, he got activated or, you know, pitcher got activated, it's a new pitcher, or I know there's going to be an opener going, and I would really not like Jock Peterson against this lefty, Ray, but mm-hmm. Here I am. I have to. Yeah. Why am I restricted? Like, because other people think it's more work? That's bull crap, man. Start, do your once-a-week waivers, no problem, or do your once-a-week lineup changes, no problem. No one's stopping you from doing it. But what's being stopped is the progress. You know, and that's the stuff, like, you know, I could go into our medical system. And I mean, that's the thing is, like, you have the antidote, but you're like, nah, you don't have the right insurance, bruh. You can't get the antidote. But wait, I just got bit by a scorpion. I don't have the antidote? No, sorry. Insurance doesn't cover. What? My life? I just die?
Sorry, Jeff. It's been nice. It's been real.
Honest to God, it's just ridiculous to me. You can do it the other way. If you have daily lineup moves, you can decide, hey, man, I'm busy. I have a lot going on. I'm going to plan my lineup on Sunday because everybody – see, this is where it falls apart. Everyone who says on Sunday they could plan out the week and they do all this work, this is where your whole thing
– Fab is different, Jeff. If you're talking about planning your week ahead, what you're going to say is 100% right.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this to only –
management.
Lineup moves. And yeah, not to Fab. I'm going to plan it out that way, right?
Yep.
All these old timers say it. I plan out the week. I know how many lefties they're facing, how many righties they're facing, all that. That's the excuse everybody gets. That's the excuse I hear constantly. We don't need daily life. If you spend enough time Sunday, you know all these things. You know, we've heard this for decades, right? Okay, yep. Fine. So then why don't you just do that? Why don't you plan out your Sunday, plan out your whole week. You don't have to touch your team again, but let me do it.
Yeah.
The reason, the truth?
Because you'll win.
I'm going to do it better. And it puts, then they don't want to do it. It's really that. It's told to everybody in our industry that regulates these games. It's why Yahoo, ESPN, all NFFC, NFBC, That's why these leagues are a certain setup, is because our industry tells them this is what people want. We're your spokesman. We're your congresspeople. We're your politicians. But yet what we're really doing is more or less what caters to our own personal needs. And that's where I flipped over tables within the fantasy sports industry, right? Because I think people just like it. They've been playing fantasy baseball for 20 years, and they've always just done it on Sunday as part of their ritual. So they'll do it Sunday, and that's what they want. But anybody else who's other things, Game of Thrones, kids, whatever else is going on Sundays, if you can't do it on the day they want you to do it, then screw you. You shouldn't be allowed to do it at all. And that's just BS.
Yeah, I mean, this does go back a little bit to the start of the podcast where we're talking about, you know, setting up leagues or having leagues set up in a way that speaks to you, you know. And this idea that you're putting forward, hey, I want to do it every day. Hey, I'm a lazy guy. I don't want to do it every day. Okay, we can do one of two things. We can do A, what everyone does now that you just described, or B, open it up for the daily moves. And if you want to be lazy and not make daily moves, then who cares?
Yeah. No problem. Plan out your week, everybody. You know, just like you're playing.
And
you plan it out, so plan it out.
Yeah, no. And these websites allow you to go to tomorrow or the next day or the next day, and it shows you the matchups, and you can change your lineups at any point. You can plan it out for weeks if you want to. I mean, again, that's not very smart, but you can definitely do that. The whole point is this. You have to decide how much effort and energy you want to put into this. And I agree with you. I've pushed for change statistically in the experts leagues that we do. You've pushed for lineup change ability. So we're both pushing in different ways. Neither one of us has been really successful. And I don't know if it's laziness or it's comfortable or I don't know what it is. Okay. But the idea that, you know, you only set your league once, your lineup once a week works because it's consistent and it's simple. But if you want to take the knowledge you have because you listen to us on this podcast, because you follow our work at Fantasy Guru, or you listen to us on Sirius, whatever it is, if you want to apply that knowledge that you gain, you can't do it if you're setting your lineup once a week. It's why I tell people all the time, I don't have a problem. If you want to play in a 10-team league, play in a 10-team league. I think they're dumb, okay? But if that's what works for you, play it. Just understand, if you're in a shallow league, you're short-circuiting the ability you have from all the energy and effort you put into fantasy sports. You're short-circuiting your ability to dominate your opponent. Because when everyone's basically playing an all-star lineup, there's not much to differentiate you. It's when you start going deep. It's when you start taking those dives. It's when you start looking at lefty-righty, home-away, splits, all this. When you start looking at that stuff, that's when you truly gain the advantage. And if we're not in a league that's deep enough for the player, or we're not in a league that allows us to massage our lineups on a daily basis, you lose that advantage, Jeff.
Absolutely. And it's driving me crazy. And I have sat around and, like you said, no success. I've lost this argument for years and years and years and years. And I'm not going to stop, but you would think I could be that guy right now. And I could just sit back with my arms folded and said, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Less fantasy baseball coverage here. Less fantasy baseball coverage there. Less, less, less. And your games, all you dinosaurs, your games are going away. And the thing that you love is dying right in front of you. And I could just smirk at your face and say, told you. I told you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. I love fantasy baseball. I love the game of baseball. I was talking on the SiriusXM show the other day, right? Baseball's always been my favorite sport. Mm-hmm. Always. Now, in the seasonal and daily variety, I have a bigger advantage in football. So I became like this football guy because – there's no math in football that can show people the way. Like people, you know, that are good with numbers and stuff get really good at baseball. I've had a tough time keeping up with them, you know, that mm-hmm. people that don't even know the game right now. I'm not talking about you who are good with numbers and know the game, which is lethal, but you know what I mean? Like so I've become like a fantasy football voice just because I have a sizable advantage over my competition. And I've used that to make millions of dollars. I love this game, though, man. I love baseball. I love movement of pitches and how, you know, hot zones and what a guy on his bobblehead night, maybe a little extra juice, or, you know, guys who go from second to home and first to third and tag up and go second to third, like I saw Matt Carpenter do, taking pitches, hitting the opposite way, the shift, combat. I love the game of baseball. So great. so much strategy goes into it. I'm a chess guy. I was a backgammon guy. I was a poker guy. I love games of skill. Love it. I love when you versus an opponent, and there's so many different ways to interpret data and figure things out. But I'm telling you guys, and I'm saying it as a voice, I want change, but this game is getting hurt and it's getting bludgeoned. And major, major companies, including the one Ray and I work for at SiriusXM, are saying, all right, that's enough. They spent 9 years watching it, the numbers fly, slide, only for football to go up. And they're saying enough. Yahoo's doing the same thing. Anybody play, do you have any ESPN leagues this year, Ray?
I do not.
Yeah, and I don't blame you because I have one. It's the worst setup you've ever seen in the history of your life. And guess what? They've had so many complaints. Nobody cares. Not well, I've talked to people over at ESPN. I won't drop names here. And they said, yeah, it doesn't really matter. They launched the product, and that's the end of that. They don't care. It's not moving the needle. And these are the setups we use. CBS doesn't care. Yahoo doesn't care. ESPN, no. You know what I mean? And NFBC, they're already, you know, NFBC's going on. They could sell quarter season packages and rest of season packages and half season. Nope. NFFC already. Best ball across the board. It's baseball's going away in the fantasy variety in the seasonal front. And if we don't act, don't do something now, it's not going to be there for you. So that's the end of that. Ray, let's move on. Is Mike Minor a superstar?
He is not a superstar, but he's really good. And he is someone that is in a tremendous groove right now. It is not sustainable, his current pace, but it is very heartening because two things are likely to happen. One, he's likely to get traded. And they've already been rumors about that for like a month now. And we want him to get him out of Texas when it's 100 degrees in August. We want to get him out of there. So let's hope that actually happens. That's point number one. And point number two, when healthy, he's been very effective for long stretches of his career. The problem is staying healthy. So he is someone that his cost was so low. You got him on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. You picked him up the 27th, 8th round. You might as well just ride this until it stops. He's not a strikeout and inning arm, and the ratio is obviously going to go up, especially the ERA, at least a little bit. But he's a very solid pitcher. He's not a star, but he's a very solid pitcher, Jeff.
All right, Ray Flowers, let's play some either or when it comes to pitchers. Let's use Mike Minor,
okay,
for example. Who would you rather have the rest of the way? Rest of the way. From here on out, it's late May. Mike Minor. Let's go Domingo Germán.
Oh, such a good question. Germán has been a better performer. He's more dynamic. He's more exciting. He's in the start, you know, New York. But he's lucky to throw 150 innings. I'll say Germán by my chinny chin chin here, Jeff. But again, the innings cap with Germán is real. Okay, it's real. If he gets 150, that's not my opinion. There's beat writers that have been talking about that too. If he gets to 150, it's going to be surprising. So you got to keep that in mind with him.
All right, so you're going Germán on that
barely
one?
Barely, yep.
All right, let's get – how about this one? Zach Davies, Jordan Lyles, the Pirates.
Ooh, you're going either way. Lyles. I will take Lyles. I will let Davies go. Davies is – he's been spectacular if you look at the traditional measures, you know, win-loss, okay, ERA. But the true story beyond that is he doesn't miss any bats. He's been fortunate with the home run ball. He doesn't get enough ground balls. He's been very, very fortunate on some batted ball data. He's – what's his ERA now? 1.5? He's a 4 ERA pitcher.
Yeah.
He's just in a nice groove. So I definitely would let him go out of those two.
How about Chris Paddock,
mm-hmm,
Caleb Smith?
Good one. That's a good one, Jeff.
These are good, right?
That's a good one.
These are not pre-planned.
No, I have no idea who he's throwing out here. Paddock has been tremendous. He rebounded from that one rough effort last time out. Paddock has said himself, he threw 130, 150 out there. I'm trying to remember, 130, 135, what was it? He's got an innings pitch limit. He knows it. The team knows it. His agent knows it. I mean, he's coming off throwing 90 eight innings in 2 years or whatever it is. But he's a much better pitcher than Caleb Smith. And that's – I'm going to go Caleb Smith going away. I'm going to hold on to Chris Paddock. Caleb Smith had a preseason write-up about him and said this could happen, said he could go Robbie Ray, but understand the comparison. He's the good Robbie Ray now. He could also be the poor Robbie Ray when this thing snaps back. A lot of things going in his favor, Jeff, right now. There could be a lot of bad outings for Smith. Walks, home runs, batting average, and balls of play is going to go up.
Yeah, and the thing with these two, I think I talked about it either the last podcast or two, was between Paddock and Smith. Both of them are essentially two-pitch pitchers. Really, Caleb Smith kind of has a changeup, but doesn't throw it nearly as much. I'm stacking against Chris Paddock every time out from here on out because the regression has to come. He's at 50% hard contact rate. How is that possible? How can you have a like sub-1 ERA and a 50% hard contact with so many fly balls? People say, oh, San Diego, okay, yeah, a little bit. Not to this degree, though. So regression coming for both of these guys. In the daily game, I'm stacking against them, although nervous about doing it. And it did not work last time I tried Diamondbacks against Paddock. So I digress there. What about Frankie Montas, Max Fried?
Boy, this is a really tough one because I'm not a fan of either one, really.
Really?
Yeah.
What don't you like about Montas? Because I was sort of on him too, didn't really care. And he's starting to win me over, though, Ray. Talk me down.
Well, I think that Frankie Montas is – I want to say Rick Porcello with ground balls. I want to say the old Rick Porcello, which is, again, a very competent guy. He makes 30 starts, throws 180 innings, wins 14 games. Everyone's happy. I have a hard time buying in to the ratios that we're seeing with him. The walk rate is something that, you know, if he continues to walk less than two guys per nine innings, it's a new ball game. That opens up everything for him. But if you go back and you look at his track record, you're seeing 3.5, 4, 5. Like, you see these walk rates kind of, they're all over the place with him. He's had some seasons where it's been really high, some where it's been really low. I don't really get a good sense of who he is in that space. And if you're, you know, putting free guys on base, if you're not doing what you need to do to keep guys off base, if you know what I'm saying, it's like if you're getting behind 1-0, I just worry about his ability because I look at his strikeout rate right now and I'm not seeing a strikeout an inning guy. So I think he's got to do a better job of controlling the strikes on. I'm just not there yet.
I will chime in here and say Montas going away from me. Ooh. Because here's what I like about him is why. You're right about the walk rate, but let me tell you why. Everything he throws moves.
True.
He's one of those. He's a Kerry Wood guy. Everything moves pretty dramatically. He's got vertical. He's got horizontal. It glides across the zone. What he needs to do, you can live with that, but one of the things in studying pitching, and I've really honed in on pitching this year because my cash game breakdowns on elitefantasy.com, like Ray, I really decide because I'm paying down. And so I have to find these diamonds in the rough and ride them out at 7,000 all the way to 9,000. Then I kick them to the curb and let them go, you know. And Montas has been one of those guys. He needs the ball to come through the zone. Doesn't need to be a strike at the end, but that O swing percentage. You got to get that outside, you know, get those swings. The way to do that when you have movement like he does is get it, throw it from the angle in which it's coming through the zone. So it appears to the hitter like this is going to land in the zone. Oh, damn, I've already started my swing, and the sinker splitter is now low and outside. You know what I mean? It's got to go. Because if not, what guys run into, it's the Tyler Glasnow philosophy. And if you research Glasnow and what happened, and Ray's moved him over on the rubber and just subtle movements, and all of a sudden now his pitches still go all over the place, movement everywhere when healthy, of course. But they come through the zone. And when it appears to the batter that, oh, this is going to be, you know, this is coming in the strike zone. And then they swing, and they either get lazy, bad contact, or they swing and miss altogether. And I think Montas can get there. I really do. So I think he could skyrocket. He could be
a big arm. You're right about that.
He could be an ace type, whereas there's just no – Max Fried is a third starter, fine. And I think right now Fried might be ahead of Montas as far as – I don't want to say development. But, you know, like he's just more stable. But Montas has that ceiling that I could see him being that – next sort of, oh, wow, this guy came out of nowhere and he's perennially, you know, a force, a front of the rotation type of guy. So I'll take Montas on that deal. All right, Ray, let's talk about some of these call-ups. Mm-hmm. Last week was a bonanza of prospect call-ups around Major League Baseball, and there's a ton of them. I'm going to read off some names, and then we'll talk about what we did individually, then center in. Brendan Rodgers of the Colorado Rockies, Nicky Lopez of the Royals, Austin Riley of the Braves, Oscar Mercado, Keyston Hiura, Willie Calhoun of the Rangers, Corbin Martin, all called up last week. Which one of those, or maybe somebody I left off, right? Who had your most attention on the free agent wire last weekend?
There's an article that I wrote on Monday, Ray's Ramblings, Fab Run Week 8, where I went through all these guys and talked about the bids and all the quote-unquote expert leagues. And I was shocked by the bidding for some of the guys, both high and low. The guy that I targeted in the majority of leagues, I thought he was a good combination of a guy that I needed versus cost, was Brendan Rodgers. Now we're getting news as we're recording this on Tuesday that he's out of the lineup again. I don't know what the hell the Rockies are doing. Okay, let's hope they play him, because it's set up for him to take over second base. He was tearing it up at the minor league level. It didn't make a lot of sense for him to call him up to be a short-term guy. And I was convinced, and it turned out to be correct, that Austin Riley was going to be the guy everyone spent on. In retrospect, I think that I would have been better off going Nicky Lopez, because there were some leagues here where Nicky Lopez cost was half or a third of Brendan Rodgers. And if Brendan Rodgers is playing at his elite level and Nicky Lopez is playing at his elite level, you want Brendan Rodgers all day. But Lopez is the one batting second in the lineup every day. He's got the lockdown spot. He brings the speed. He's a shortstop. He's going to pick up second base eligibility. And his cost was really low compared to what we saw with a lot of these other guys, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I would – and I did the same. I was Brendan Rodgers all the way. Mm-hmm. And I am in six leagues, bid on him very heavily. I got him in one out of six because it was just crazy. People emptied out the clip. And that's one of the problems I have is if I'm going to close out any championships this year, I know I got to save some fab. And especially in high stakes leagues, like, I don't know what some of these guys are going to do without any money in May. Like, I had two leagues where guys that are down to zero, multiple people have zero or less than $5, let's say. I mean, okay, that's one way to do it. But I went after Rodgers aggressively again, didn't get him very much. I did get Hiura in a couple of leagues, and that I'm sort of like, probably overpaid there. I do like the bad middle infield guy, but I will go heavily after a Rockies middle infield eligible guy with power every time. I don't feel like, even in retrospect, like, even if it doesn't work out, you almost had to do it, in my opinion, because the upside is just too much. He's been at Colorado Springs. He's close. We know about Coors Field. They played a very small amount of home games over the month of April. That's going to pick up as the weather gets better. That ballpark is going to be run central, and he's going to be in the lineup. I mean, Story's been banged up. We know they can't figure out a second baseman to save their life anyway. Ryan McMahon's been pretty much a bust. So I think Rodgers will get his opportunity. It's just a slow start to this first week.
Yeah, I grabbed him just for the sake of putting it out there. I bid on him everywhere and was like second in a bunch of leagues, but I grabbed him in FSTA, I grabbed him in the SiriusXM Host League, and I grabbed him in the NFBC. My bids there out of 1,000 were 207, 239, and 227. One of the leagues, there was a bid at 211, so it was right on there, but the other leagues were all around 150, so I might have overbid a little bit, but I agree with you. It's like I looked at this whole thing and thought to myself that that's just the best investment. I didn't want to spend the 30%+ on Riley. I thought Hiura could be dealing with issues with Travis Shaw. So I was worried a little bit about his playing time because I love his bat. But I think the biggest takeaway wasn't that Riley was the most expensive. It was that people spent money on Willie Calhoun like they haven't been paying attention for the last 4 years. And I don't – 3 years ago, Willie Calhoun was supposed to be an all-star. Now he's just trying to get a job in the big leagues. Like, I don't – he's a 270, 25 home run guy. And to see people bidding 30% of their budget to add that, I didn't get that at all across the board, Jeff.
He hit three home runs in the two games leading up to Fab. I want to say it was Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday. And then, and there's just no way. Like you said, Willie Calhoun is, what, 25 years old? 24, I thought he was older. No, he is a undersized, scrawny little guy. He wants to be a power hitter. He's Ray Durham. And, you know, for a guy like Willie Calhoun to be a fantasy asset, I need him stealing double-digit base. I need him stealing 20. I want Willie Calhoun to be 20-20 with a 270 average and, you know, and ideally 350 on base percentage where he was at the minors. That's what I need. He doesn't steal any. Like, literally, career, 7 years, 5 years, I'm sorry, 11 stolen bases in the minor leagues. Garbage. Four of those was last year for AAA Round Rock. There's just not enough here for me. And the years of 31 home runs in the Pacific Coast League, nice try, Willie. It's a good ballpark for homers, but this is not something that I'm interested in. It's not an asset that I like. I don't think a guy who's undersized like this that gets jumpy, hits the ball in the air all the damn time. He does. He's good. He can hit 20 home runs regularly in the majors. Yeah, absolutely. But you know who else can, Ray?
Everyone.
Yeah, damn right. Everybody. So what are you bidding on? Get the hell out. You got to give me something else. And this is sort of my Byron Buxton thing. Because let me give you some credit because I don't give you enough. Let me figure that out. But
somewhere in the middle.
You've held firm on Buxton. You were a buyer this year given his draft position and all that. And I sort of always scoffed at you and made fun of you. Like, Ray, let it go, let it go. But Buxton's showing everybody. Okay, he's solid. Not spectacular, but solid right now. But I have a share of Buxton, and I have to say, Ray, I'm a little disappointed.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Now, hear me out, though. Huh? When I draft Buxton and I'm forming my team, I want steals. And the dude is just never on first base. He takes no walks at all, ever. He's hitting doubles up the backside, and he's, you know, what does he have, 5-6 home runs or 4 only? Feels like he has more home runs, by the way. He's 18 doubles, leads the American League, by the way. He's second in triples, 4 home runs. And he doesn't walk. He's just never on first. He's never stealing. And as great as it is, you know, a 267 hitter with 4 home runs, 24 RBIs, doesn't – I know he's exceeding expectations. The 8 steals are okay.
He's still on pace for like 28 steals, which is still a good mark. Right. It's not 40 or anything, but it's still a good mark.
With as good as, like, it's just the way I think that a lot of us, maybe you're not one, but I set up my team. I really counted it, like, Byron Buxton in the lineup every day, staying healthy, even hitting ninth and all that. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, we're talking about a guy who's going to score 75, 80 runs and steal me 30 plus bags. Mm-hmm. And if I'm just a little underwhelmed by that. And I'm not getting the impact because the league I have him in, I'm hurting it steals. Right. And I'm like, what the hell do I – and the rest of my team, I'm actually way up there. I think I'm second in the whole league. I'm up there in homers and RBIs, and I'm like, I'm going to deactivate Buxton for steals. And I'm like, wait a minute, I can't do that. He's my stone base. So it's a conundrum with him that as well as he's doing, I don't think he's helping us in the ways that were intended.
Well, and I think that – I don't necessarily agree with you because 28 steals is still 28 steals. Your point,
it's not a negative. You're right.
Yeah, but your point is I understand your point, and I will say this because I had a back and forth with someone on Twitter the other day, a couple people about David Dahl, and someone was like, you know, when is David Dahl's junk? Like, what's going on? I'm like, David Dahl is one hit from 300. He's one hit from batting 300. His current on base percentage is above his career mark. Okay. His slugging percentage is barely off. He's within 20 points of his career OPS. He's been the exact same guy this year. Now, the problem is he's got 3 home runs instead of 8 or 9, right? So someone drafted him expecting him to hit 300 with 28 home runs. Well, now he's hitting 300 on pace for 15 home runs, and people think he stinks. It's like, well, no, he really doesn't. His slash line is almost a carbon copy of his career numbers. I mean, this is really good stuff, too, by the way. If you hit 300 with a 350 on base percentage and a 485 slugging percentage and you play 15 years, you go to Cooperstown. So it's really not that bad. But the expectations, like with Buxton in some circles, the expectations with Dahl were to the point that though he's actually performing well because of the way we record points in the fantasy game, back to the topic at the start, because of the way we record points in the fantasy game, he's not really being rewarded for how effective he has been with the bat in his hands.
Yeah, and that's true. And again, Dahl has not been bad. I mean, the thing with Dahl probably that's bothering people is the lack of at-bats. Like, his .297 average is great as we sit here right now. A .343 on-base percentage, you can't dispute that. But I wish it was over 180 at-bats as opposed to 120 at-bats. Mm-hmm. That would be weighted a little bit better and helping us a little bit better. But, folks, and I'll tell you this with Brandon Rogers. I'll tell you this with David Dahl. I'll tell you this with Charlie Blackman. I told you this with Nolan Arenado a month ago. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about the power numbers. That's the last thing you ever have to worry about a hitter in Colorado. Tapia, you know, Tapia's not even a home run hitter. He's actually, I'm more worried about his steals. He's another one, by the way.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it. If Dahl hits .290 for you, that dude's hitting 20-plus home runs. You, I don't care what you want to say. You want to give me 19.5 on his home run total for the year? I'll take the over, even though he's got, you know, he's got three right now. I'll take it over going away, and I'll be winning this by end of July. I know it. It's just the way it's. Rockies have not played a lot of home games, you know, and the games they have, cold, rainy at the beginning. So it's just a matter of time before that ballpark really heats up. It's like some Cubs hitters too, like Bryant, we're starting to see breakout, and Rizzo. It's like, guys, they play. Look at the ballpark factor right now. Wrigley Field's the best pitcher's park in Major League Baseball. By a mile. Why? Because the wind's nonstop blowing in. It's been nothing but cold in Chicago. We know that's going to change. Wrigley's small. Wrigley's got baskets in the outfield to catch home runs. You know, it's those numbers are going to come up, and it's gonna, no surprise that some of the, Rizzo and Bryant and some of these guys, Schwarber, starting to get hot as the weather heats up here as well. So, anything else with any of those? So Calhoun not in favor. What a hero for the Brewers. Higuera. I don't know how to. I'm always good.
Yeah.
Higuera. Keystone. Keston.
Yeah.
What do you think of him? Did I make a mistake? Bidden?
No. I think the legitimate issue with him is the playing time. If they said, here's the job, it's yours, and Travis Shaw is out of the mix, and that, then let it rip. Because that guy's got a legit hit tool. That guy could hit 300 in the big leagues. He could hit 15 to 20 home runs. He could hit 40 doubles. Like, he is that kind of a hitter, and I fully expect him to be that kind of a hitter once given the opportunity he's fully developed. Right now, it was the playing time issue that held me back from the bidding because, you know, I've said this previously, 30 home runs, 85 RBIs. Travis Shaw has done that each of the last 2 years. There's only 10 hitters in baseball that have done that, okay? Teams don't forget about that. You don't do what he did the last 2 years, and then, you know, some rookie comes up and hits 280 for 2 weeks, and now you're never going to play again. So the question is, how does the playing time work out? If Shaw continues to struggle in the minor leagues, if he can't get over the hump here, and they let Keston rip, it was a good ad this week at the cost, Jeff.
Right. And, again, get Aguilar out of there. I watched Jesus Aguilar run from first to third on a double. You would have, like, I thought, oh, this guy just had diarrhea down his leg. Like, he's down both legs. Like, he's walking like
diarrhea.
Right, there's like either a pony between his legs or there's, you know, diarrhea splashing around. Like, so, I'm like, God, this guy can't move. He is one of the worst athletes I've ever seen.
He's not very athletic. He's no Pablo Sandoval, I'll tell you that.
Look at Pablo make a little comeback from
himself. Yeah.
Good for Pablo. All right, bro, we're going to end it there. I know we talked about some of you are going to be complaining. You've wasted some of your time. Guys, these are important discussions to have, the future of fantasy baseball. If you're listening to the Fantasy Baseball Elite podcast on the regular, you guys know we love it, and you know we care about its well-being and its future. So help support it. Join the conversation. Agree, disagree, but be open-minded. Come at it from an idea of, okay, how do we change subtle overhauls, whatever it takes to make these changes. If you've got any more questions on the call-ups, free agent bidding, prospects, either or, pitching, hitting, ballparks, home and away games, lefty and righty splits, anything seasonal fantasy baseball related, hit us up over at fantasyguru.com. I think it's $19.99 for the rest of the season. Burr report, bullpen usage and reliever ratings, tons of stat tools and data hubs, and us in the chat rooms, you know, constantly throughout the course of the days and weeks and helping you bid and everything else. So check that out. Hit Ray Flowers up at Baseball Guys on Twitter. Find me at Jeff_Manns, M-A-N-S, on the Twitter machine as well. Any final words for the kiddies before we let them off into that good night, Ray?
Yeah, one final note. For those of you that got the regular season package and didn't get the full VIP experience on opening day, we have an upgrade available for that. It's only $5. It's $1 a month the rest of the season if you want to get access to the chat room and such. If that's the case, hit Jeff up or me, Jeff_Manns, at Baseball Guys, both of us on Twitter, and we'll help get that code to you. So you can also sign up to participate in that.
Heck to the yeah, everybody. So there you go. For the great Ray Flowers, this is Jeff Manns, Fantasy Baseball Elite. See you next time, everybody. Deuces.